All right, we've started the recording, Dave.
Good on you.
Yes, I got the message. I mean, literally, I got the message.
Nice. Where are you in the world today? Hey, Chris, how are you?
All right, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. It's been a while.
Yes. Well, I don't always have the opportunity to talk. We'll see what I can do today.
Cool.
Yeah, you started.
Yeah.
Nice.
Here you are.
Here I am.
Nice. You work with WordPress, don't you?
Chris, me?
Yeah.
You're talking to me? No, I don't. That's on my explore things to-do list.
Excellent, excellent. I thought you already did, so I was going to see how you're going. So cool.
No, unfortunately, I work 60 plus hours a week, and I'm on call the rest, so it's kind of tough.
Oh boy, you've got a lot of free time, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, loads.
Wow, dude, I remember those days.
Yeah, I know. I got to get out of it, so I'm. That's why I'm working with you as much as I can. I'm brain dead though most of the time when I'm not at the office.
Sometimes brain dead is the best, you know. Like you just get out of your own way, you know. It's easier to swing the golf club.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I try to do the best that I can. So at least Sunday afternoons for me, Monday mornings for you is the better
right.
of the times to try to get this going. But you know, oftentimes I'm on the phone or handling other issues. So I am listening, but that's about it.
Cool. Well, I'm glad. Yeah. I swear, a lot of people don't get this, but every little win, every little, I mean, if all you can do is listen, if all you can do is listen to half of something, literally, it's digging yourself out, you know, it's
That's
getting
right.
out of that.
I agree. That's
yeah.
why that email I sent you with those two little games, I was like all for them. I was like, you know, the check for 800, 900 bucks, whatever it was, I was like, ooh, you know, I wasn't expecting it, so it was a good thing.
Cool.
Have you stopped whatever it was working in the background last time that we called?
Welcome to the call.
Andrew,
hey, Andrew, how are you?
All right, matey.
Morning, 20, it's Yaz.
Good morning, Yaz. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Cool. Andrew, are you sore?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good on you.
Not as bad today and yesterday as I was the first 2 days, though.
Yeah, I hear you. Good morning and welcome to the call.
Hi, it's Marianne.
Hey, Marianne, how are you today?
Good, how are you doing?
I am excellent. You know what's really cool? Because of this Facebook thing, I can actually picture a lot of you guys, you know? So, in fact, back in the old days when we did this, I had no idea what half my people looked like. Right, Dave?
Oh, yeah. There's guys that were part of our group. I still don't know what they looked like all those years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave was in the first year-long live training that I did. I don't even know what year that was, Dave. That's a long time ago. 2003, 2004?
About 7 years ago, maybe.
Is that all? Wow, okay.
It could be more. It could be more.
Oh, no, it's got to be more, because 2009 is the year we took apart Neville. And everyone else.
Right.
So that was like the fourth year or something. So
you're right. Those were the days when I'd open my mailbox and there'd be big envelopes from you in there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Back when we started doing these kinds of things, we'll just talk till everybody shows up. Dave was in the first year-long training that I did. We called those Remarkable. And we didn't have free conference call back then, so it was basically like a Yahoo group that we were in. And we sent packages out because we didn't have instant downloads. So the whole thing was every month you got a package that I painstakingly put into a U.S. mail priority envelope and sent somewhere in the world. And God, it was good fun. And then we got somewhere along the line in the first year, I think free conference call showed up and changed everything.
This is Sharon from Texas.
Hey, Sharon from Texas. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Have you had any good
either?
Brisket lately?
Sorry?
Have you had any good brisket lately?
No, sorry.
Buggers.
funny. I still remember the brisket you and I had in Austin.
Yeah, Rudy's. Yep.
I still talk about that. I was just talking to my dad about it a few weeks ago.
Good. It was that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else has joined us in the call?
Dennis from Indiana.
Hey, Dennis from Indiana. I know who you are. How are you? Nice to hear you.
Please remind me, is it star 6 if you have to mute yourself?
Star 6 if you want to mute yourself. I think I can mute everyone just for fun if we find noise that doesn't make sense anywhere. But we'll try not to do that.
Okay. I can hear.
Cool. All righty, it's 5:02. Let's give them 3 more minutes to show up in case they dial slow. Anybody have anything they want to toss out while we're just warming up? Somebody.
At some point, I'd like to hear your thoughts on Neville's I guess that's the word I'm looking for, is attitude. So I was reading the one of the Neville quotes for the day the other day, and he was talking about the bondage of reason. And it was that and other things I've read recently where I just kind of pick up he had a, I don't know what the word is, I don't want to say belligerent attitude, but defiant attitude, belligerent attitude. You know what I mean? Not a bad attitude, but he would take on anybody.
Yeah.
Totally. That's a good place to start diving in. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi. Is that Tamika?
This is.
How are you, sweetheart?
Good. I'm just getting ready for my granddaughter's first birthday party.
That's right. That's right. Well, you make sure you guys have fun and give the man who married you a hug from
Laurel.
Us.
All right.
Hey, Laurel. How's life in New York?
Hey, great. How are you?
I am excellent, thank you. Loved your post the other day.
Which one?
I'm not telling. You'll be the popular search term.
Which site? Which post? I'm everywhere.
It was really awesome the other morning when you and Yasmin were working back and forth on her page.
Oh,
that was
great fun.
That was fabulous.
Thank you,
fabulous.
Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, thank you, Laurel. That was awesome.
Oh, it was great fun. You can take care of my push anytime.
I'd be happy to.
How many of us are on yet?
I don't know. Let me see if I can see a report on that.
Joe Weldon is here. Hello, everyone.
Yo, Joe.
What up?
I love that you sound just like you type.
Yeah, well, I try, and it is a geographical oddity, New Jersey.
God, I love New Jersey. I remember being in Edison, New Jersey. I was so excited because of the significance that it has in Napoleon Hill's work. And good stuff. Good people in New Jersey. Good corned beef hash. Oh, my God.
That's
all about
true.
The food, isn't it?
I geographically locate by food. You know, as you listen back to the recording, you'll hear brisket in Texas with Dave and yeah. And it's
is
all
Andrew
meeting.
On yet?
Andrew's here.
I'm absolutely here.
I have a Jesus bar update for you.
Oh,
excellent. give a quick Jesus bar update and we'll dive in with Neville's attitude. How about that?
Well, okay. Well, I was talking to I'm working on a project with someone in Australia, and I had to say, I learned my favorite new Aussie phrase, which he didn't know what it was, but he says, yeah, that sounds like something they would say in Australia. And then he proceeded to tell me all the other Catholic phrases that you have in Australia.
Hello,
I could read them back to you, but I won't bore you with it. But he kept going on and on and on.
I'm sure some of them are very tasty.
The other one, the actress from Wolf of Wall Street, Margot Robbie, She did a YouTube video recently where she's from Australia, and she lists like all the Aussie phrases, stuff I never heard of before. Chuck a sickie, which is calling the sick day, and it's like she went through all of them. There was one or two she said, I don't even know what that means. I never used that, but most of them stuff I had never heard of.
About the sticky beak.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Going for a sticky. I want a sticky. Oh, here's one. St. Peter sits on my speedometer. Does
We've got our own language here in a way, and not just in Australia, but also with. I can tell how far someone is with Neville based upon what they email me.
Oh.
Because if they email me something about they're visualizing, but they haven't been able to adjust their vibration, and they've been a follower of Neville's for 7 years, I know they haven't done much.
Well, if they're mentioning the word vibration, they're Abraham Hicks people that are still on the fence, I guess.
Yeah, there's some real big giveaways, and it's like I always just say, hey, you know, you go to these couple things, dive deeper here, get on the email list, because I check that now too, just for fun. And I think part of it comes down to this whole attitude thing that Dave brought up. Do you guys all get that Neville had attitude?
Attitude?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Was it attitude or just unshakable confidence? He was not going to be convinced otherwise of what he knew.
It's pretty hard, isn't it? It's like I this lifetime around I'm a guy. You know, I look in the mirror and I see what I see. You know, it would be hard for someone to try to convince me otherwise. And I love that Neville taught from experience, which is what we do. I don't share anything that I haven't experienced. You know, I argue against anything that I haven't experienced because that's what I do. But I get that. I'm going to go to a tiny side trip. But, you know, way back when Dave and I started working together, Dave was in the first remarkable year-long training that we did, like 11, 12 years ago. It's got to be. One of the things that we brought up pretty quick was NLP is not just techniques, it's techniques and an attitude. And it's the same with this stuff. And I think it comes down to anything, because if you really dive into this stuff, you've got to have attitude. And if you don't have it, you're going to develop it, because you can see in the group how many times someone will say, "Yeah, I'm not sure if I manifested this." And y'all know how I always come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's there, it's yours. So we really gotta develop this attitude of, well, there's different components to it, obviously. But yeah, I'm curious. What do you notice is Neville's attitude? Joe just gave us some goody bits. Who else wants to toss in some?
I think that his attitude. Hello, everybody. This is Peter, by the way. Peter Randall from Greece.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, how you doing? What I notice time and time again with Neville is he always. It doesn't matter if somebody is there for the 100th time or the first time. There's always like a basis. There's a platform. So I think that's really important. In a way, it's kind of like accepting everybody's attitude at that moment and then starting afresh. You can start wherever you are, as long as you get that, okay, up till that point in your life, you've been manifesting without, I guess, noticing or understanding. But then once you get the main message, then it's like, okay, buddy, the ball's in your court now. You know, it's up to you from now on. I think that's the main drive behind everything. And some people, like people that I come in contact with and... Not everyone accepts it, obviously, and that's quite funny sometimes. But I think that attitude is, it'll either make you or break you, in my books.
I suspect it'll do both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got, because I was thinking about Neville's attitude, and initially I thought, oh, it's a little bit offensive. But then I thought, well, hang on.
Abdullah, that's exactly how he trained Neville. Abdullah was like that, you know. No, it's not good enough. You didn't travel, you know, you travel first class, slam the door. It's like having total conviction and faith. This is what it, you know, this is what it is. That's how he was trained, yep. And then he became like that. Well, he might have already been like that, but the same, like, no, I ordered this. I didn't order this other stuff. This is what I ordered. And it's like, it's really, we tend to get, I might think of it initially as offensive, but actually it's not. It's just stating, this is what I want. This is what I ordered, you know, like, and just remaining in that state.
I would also add to that is that even saying that you find that offensive is you're putting a spin and a meaning on it when there isn't any.
Oh, definitely, I know. Oh, I know I've got it. Oh, well, I had issues with confrontation. So if anyone was like that to me, it'd be like, whoa, I'd recoil. But I'm getting a bit more accepting now.
Quite I think from what I've seen, no matter where conviction shows up, it always polarizes a situation, you know.
True.
And I think that a lot of the time is what people pick up as attitude. It's conviction.
You're a mechanic, right?
Background.
Yeah. Yeah, in your background. You've got to have both polarities. There's a reason why the poles on a battery are like a foot apart. Yeah, there's some amperage there. Yeah, we've got to. It's fascinating to me because we live in a world that loves homogenization. Let's all be the same. And there's just something beautiful about a woman. Me being a guy, I can look at her and go, wow, I like that we're different. It's cool, man. This whole thing of polarization, I think, is really important to nail because there's the old life that you've lived, and then there's the new life that you're. Did anyone complete the sentence with the word living?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I hope so.
I did.
Not going to be living, but living.
But coming back to that example of how Abdullah, you know, confronted him, I think. Because I thought about that many times. I don't think it can get much more honest than that. You know, I mean, if you're seeking the truth, sometimes, you know, that honesty, that upfront, this is the answer. No, it's not good enough. No, you haven't done it. It kind of melts away all the stuff in between, all the nice chatter, the, oh, let me think about it, maybe I haven't done it properly, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just bam, it's straight to the point. And I think in the long run, maybe that's the most honest thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we're, let's call it what it is. I'm a Buddha, so are you guys. As far as I'm concerned, we're all here to alleviate suffering, whether it be our own or others. And it's all the same, right? I get them talking duality here and don't get it that way. But alleviating suffering is cutting to the fucking chase.
Yeah.
You know? I love when Abdullah says, you couldn't drink like I do. You've got quibbles. It would kill you.
Yeah.
Right? There's a speech, spiritual teacher saying, you can't drink. I'll drink you under the table, Neville. You'll die. Nice. Who else? What do you got? The attitude of Neville. What do you notice? By the way, words. Your mind works in three areas, from what I can tell, primarily visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Visual's really fast. Okay, you can take in the whole. Yeah, I look around our home right now. I can take our whole home in a second visually. Kinesthetically, I feel it constantly. So visual's fast, 186,000 miles per second. The kinesthetic never moves and always is. I just feel our home. You get it? But auditory is so fucking slow. Auditory is useful to slow things down so you can notice them. We talk about, if you can admit what you doubt, I doubt that I could be a multimillionaire. There, I fucking said it, right? When I realized that years ago, my income jumped up dramatically. because I quit hiding behind this doubt. But as soon as I admitted that to myself, yeah, I doubt that I could be a multimillionaire. Guess what? Income starts rising up immediately because I put it to words. Words slow things down so you can point them out and be done with them. So another thing words do is point things out so we can use them more. It slows things down. So when we explore the attitude of Neville with words, it helps you notice it more. Somebody may have gotten something out of the rum thing. Somebody may have gotten something out of quibbles or slamming the door. But any of the what we are bringing to the call right now through words, the nature of words, again, is to slow things down so we can point them out, so we can separate the wheat from the chaff. How's that?
Yes. I agree with that because... Listen to your
attitude. I love
it. A couple of days ago, it was like a whole bunch of things was happening after thing after thing after thing. And then finally, because I don't know what I was going through at that moment, it's like almost a breakdown, almost. So I sat there and I thought, and then I started speaking out loud, listening to myself. So I used words to get myself together. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know what? Then all of a sudden everything changed after that. After I did that, everything changed as far as my attitude towards things and how things are happening now. So I was like, that's all I needed to do? No, really. I just felt that. So it was, I agree exactly what you're saying with that.
Nice. It's sweet when you can be honest and you don't have to edit.
Yes.
Your patterns, by the way, have you speaking with frequency and intensity. I have no idea if we've talked about this before. But in your life, with what you manifest, it might be useful to make sure that it's frequent and has intense moments. Like we just got another contract that's pretty damn big, instead of just a big win that goes on forever. That doesn't feel like you. Get the difference? Tamika speaks with, she's got a frequency that's punctuated by big things, powerful. Make sure you build that into your sessions and what you want. That's really good for you. In Manifesting Mastery, the lessons that would really be good for you would be the one right after the single act. I forget the name of it, but it's where we do the boom, boom, boom thing. Make sure you do that. That's good for you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Even when you say uh-huh, you don't say yes. Uh-huh. If I ever need a bodyguard in the States, you're it. That's right. Who else? The attitude, Neville. What do you notice? Sorry? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that it's funny how, like, Tamika's got that thing, because I was listening to the previous recording, about different, every person's different patterns and stuff like that, and I kind of noticed that my pattern is basically when I'm generally feeling, and when I say generally, like, I'm not concentrating on one thing in particular, but generally I'm kind of elevated. That's where I feel empowered most. And I've tried concentrating that boom, boom thing, okay, on one or two things. And it might work for me initially, like in the moment, and maybe I might stay in that state for maybe 10 or 20 minutes later, and then it kind of just melts away with something else. But then when I do a session, when I'm generally empowered or I've got a general boom, boom around me, it kind of works for me better. I don't know, that's kind of weird, but that's what I've noticed.
You sound to me like a paraglider. You get it?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
No, this is cool to honor because, we all have different ways of accessing the attitude. Dave, are you here?
Yes, I am.
What patterns do you get off of Peter? Just the obvious one.
I got frequency.
you know, I was, my mind was in it. I was listening to the content, not the pattern. Sorry.
Bugger man. Shame on
I
you.
Know, I know.
So Victoria,
you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of when I was in Pennsylvania and you and I were, you were teaching me about patterns. So I missed his patterns.
Got it.
So initially, yeah, I got frequency, but then generally there's a
duration
in
there
that comes in.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I were Peter, I'd make sure I'm sipping a long cup of coffee as part of my regulatory conversations. You get it?
Yeah, yeah. You know
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. What probably won't work for you generally is yes.
Yeah.
What would work for you, it seems more, is yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, I need you and Tamika to dance more.
I'm sorry, I'm just going on, but I just wanted to share something with you guys. Recently, actually just a couple of days ago, I finished filming my first short film, and this is something that I've had in my mind for about maybe 2 or 3 years now. I'm like, what am I waiting for? Let's just go for it. And, through the teachings and everything, I managed to manifest the money to produce it, and you know, I wrote it, and it wasn't about, let me think about what I'm going to write. I just came out with it, and so you know, it's one of those things that I'm behind it, I'm acting in it, I co-directed it and everything like that. And you know, multiple crises kind of showed up. I think I shared one on the Facebook page.
Yep.
About the makeup artist, but yeah, but that was like one of many. But I remember just everyone freaking out, and me just having that sip of coffee, thinking it's done. You know,
yes,
we've done it. It's, you know, that's it. Yeah, I'll have another sip. Thank you very much. I'll just sit back and enjoy.
Nice.
And you know, that for me, that going to the end every single time when there's chaos around, it really, really, really helped me. Especially like at one moment, because in my experience, when in every single movie set that I've been on or job that I've been at, there's always some type of chaos. It's either money, or the director's not good, or the actors don't know their lines. There's always something, and I remember picking up on these things, and I remember them showing up slowly in my project, and I'm thinking, interesting. I probably cast a few seeds back in the day, but as soon as
totally,
I started to
yeah.
notice that, as soon as I started to notice that it can be different, it doesn't have to be chaotic, it can work out fine, I can get the money at the last second, you know, then it just kind of just, you know, we took off again, which was great. Sorry. Okay.
Totally wakeful. And part of also what works for you is being able to deal with that speed of frequency that you just demonstrated.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Speed of frequency. I'm going to jot that one down.
I actually would like to add to that. This is Laurel
Go
in New York.
It. Yes.
And
I have noticed
two things. One, that if I am worried about something, as soon as I shift into, it's not quite going to the end, but it's relaxing, and it's
yeah.
just knowing. It's just a knowing that, one, the crisis doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter, and it's already gone, and it's not really a crisis. And just relaxing, everything shifts for me. It could be about money. It could be about my friggin' film. It could be. And as soon as I just kind of, it's fine, it's already passed, everything shifts. And I've noticed that. I have somebody used to work for me, and she used to call me Liquid Center. And she said she watched, you know, when you're making films all the time, you have crisis pretty, as you're saying, pretty constant. And I always would just kind of shift to a place of equilibrium, like within minutes or with whatever it was, I would just kind of flow with things. And I think it's an extension of that for me.
You've got the capacity to go where the madness is and then move it.
Yeah, it's always that for me, having perspective, whether it is going to the end, whether it's trust, or whether you just realize, you know what, You've made it through once, you're going to make it through again. And
the other thing I would let me throw in that also, to Joe Weldon, and that I've noticed no matter what a technique I use all the time now is, no matter how I feel, I imagine what I want. That I could feel crappy, I could feel angry, I could feel upset, whatever. but no matter what I'm feeling in my body, the more I imagine what I want taking place, it seems to take place. Whether
I'm
going to
use that as
go ahead,
Joe. I'm going to use this as a segue into something that I definitely want to cover today. And
sure.
Feel free to add to what you're saying too, Joe. We talked on a Feel It Real Fun show. But by the way, do you notice that these calls are a different speed than Feel It Real Fun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really important. And they're a different speed than the recordings that you get in the programs as well. Being able to play at some different speeds is really vital because different speeds help access different aspects of you. If whatever you're feeling, we covered this in a Feel It Real Fun show, but I want to make sure that we explore it here a little differently. Whatever you're feeling, use that feeling to imply your wish has been fulfilled. So if you feel a little anxiety, I've got my immigration test coming up. I get to take a test and answer questions so I can become a citizen. So a tiny bit of test, quote, anxiety shows up, right? And what I do is I just point that at the first time I visit the U.S. on an Aussie passport, I'm going to have to deal with immigration over there. Because you got to tick a box that says, you know, yeah, about your citizenship, and they ask you questions whenever, yeah, you're a citizen of the U.S. and a citizen of a foreign country, or, you know, whatever. So, if I feel a little anxiety, I just don't crush it, but I'll take it and I'll use it. I'll say, all right, where would I feel this anxiety, quote unquote, if my wish were fulfilled? And I'll put it whenever we scoot over to the U.S. to visit my mom or dad. Or you guys. You get it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
It's also, if you look at where Neville talks about the first principle on NevilleGoddardQuotes.com, he says, whatever happens, remember the first principle. It's framed in doubt, that particular quote. But I love that he says, whatever happens. And to me, that goes back to good, bad, or indifferent. Whatever happens, allow yourself to notice the stillness that you are.
Yeah, that was what I loved in what Laurel said before. There's no crisis anyway.
Oh, yeah. If you notice the stillness that you are, there's no crisis. It's just an event. It might be an intense event. Yeehaw. You deal with it. But you get that the stillness is what drives attitude. Real attitude comes from stillness.
I don't know if you have an agenda right now, 2020, but something just came to mind that I wanted to share.
Toss it in.
Can I jump the shark here?
Yeah, what's cool is I love leaving space because going back to the lesson where we talked about imagine financial freedom first and then let the chunks chunk down. If we come from space here and you get something inspired, quote unquote, that shows up, it's perfect for someone on the call, even you.
Good. So let me just tell you, I don't know. Good to hear. I don't know if everyone feels this way, but you start seeing the world through the Neville Goddard lens, and I start seeing what people are going through and how they create crisis when there isn't crisis, really. And recently, and I posted somewhat about this, but I was on a train, an Amtrak train. The train, we're all waiting at the track. The train came on the wrong track going in the other direction. Nobody got on it. So we were all, yep, about 10 strangers stranded in trying to get to New York. And we had to get the next train was much later, so we had to hang out with each other for about 2.5 hours. So we all started bonding a little bit. First, people were very disgruntled, and I immediately shifted. And there's nothing we can do. We just got to make the best of it, because that's what I do. But now I'm on the train, and this woman was saying, I don't want to go back to my apartment because it's infested with roaches, and I'm having this problem.
Yep.
And she's talking about it, and I turned to her, and I said, this is now about almost midnight. And I said to her, are the roaches here in the train? She says, no. I said, well, you know, you're bringing them in the train. And she burst out laughing, and I says, I bet they've been with you all day. And she goes, they have been. I'll talk about them to everyone I can. And so I started, you know, talking to her, saying, you know, your roaches are already gone. And she's looking at me like, do you always think like this? She started calling me like the wizard. But she was really kind of marveling, can you really live a life like this? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
With like not worrying about what's really happening in the present. So I just want to share that with people because I wonder if everyone finds that in your life, you know, talking to people that are in crisis.
Definitely.
Victoria? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's having contact with normal humans is fascinating to me. We go to the dog park, we've got our close friends, and then we've got, like, other people that sort of drift in and drift out. And I can't help it, but honest to God, a couple times a day go, just fuck, man. Just how do you live your life? What?
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. They've got attitude, but it ain't the Neville Goddard attitude.
Yeah. But I do find that quite frequently, like so many people, they make crises and it really is their mind creating the crisis. You know, and I learned so much here, and I have another friend of mine who has got a diagnosis. She's not sick. She's fine. But she made the mistake of having a blood test. And so she's all worried because of this test result, which is really fine. And now she's coming from a place of illness.
Totally.
And I keep telling her over and over again, come from a place of health. Do the same thing, come from a place of health. And every time I tell it to her, she's like, she knows it's truth. She relaxes. But then she goes back into, I have to take care of my health. But like that kind of thing, I find everyone in my life, I can see where they're stuck. Can't see where I'm stuck, but I can see where they're stuck.
Sweet. I love that the slow thing to do is to tell them this, which I do all day long. And I commend you, and I commend everyone that shares this stuff. Yeah, God, yeah, good on you. The fast thing we can do is obviously imagine lovingly form again, which is good fun.
Yeah.
But what an opportunity we've given ourselves here.
Fun.
Oh, my God.
Totally like, fun.
Like Neville says, if you believe this, you won't pass anyone without lifting their cross.
Mm.
It's like, what a hoot.
Yeah.
I love watching the changes, because sometimes the changes only last about a 60th of a second, but they always happen.
Mm.
Victoria got me this GoPro thing. I really got to charge it up and just start wearing it all the time.
Oh my God, that's dangerous. You with a GoPro?
Does it come with a drone?
Oh no, now that makes me nervous.
What did you say, Joe?
Is it attached to a drone?
No, well,
yeah, him. It's attached to him.
Yeah. The meat suit is a drone, definitely, Joe. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, you get one of these drones. There are so many drones now that come with GoPros. You could chase the flea bags around the yard with them.
Oh no, we're going to put it on the flea bag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're going to put it on Bruce. We tried putting it on Emmett like a long time ago when Emmett was very high strung. Now he's just a little high strung, and it was not pretty. It was just like
there's a video of a guy walking his dog with his drone, but he was too lazy to do it himself.
Wow.
Huh.
Amazing. Somebody wants
what
to say something? Yes,
yeah,
Peter?
I just wanted to say something that, you know, because I don't know. I guess it's in my nature. I like to share my insights. I like to share things that I've learned. I like to share things that, you know, work for me, especially when I notice other people, you know, maybe stuck or in difficult places, or when I've started noticing their patterns. but lately, I don't know if I've said this before, but lately I've had this urge not to so much. I don't know what it is. It's maybe, I don't think it's like I want to avoid the whole conversation of trying to explain to them, you know, that their thoughts are basically, you know, whatever they're reaping, is, you know, it's whatever they've sowed. I don't know. I think it's just, for me, I guess it's more powerful just to, like, see their image, them happier or relieved, sure, or relaxed or peaceful. It's a lot easier than to try and explain it to them, you know. And when I live by that example, sometimes, what? Not always, but sometimes people start coming to me, you know, like, dude, what are you doing? You know, how you, you know, I've been watching, you've changed. This is nice. This is, you know, what have you been thinking? Like, how have you been acting? Where are you, you know, who are you reading lately? And, you know, then they start coming and then, you know, I'll pass on the torch. But I don't know. I just wanted to share that. You know, I don't know.
Being a being of light and trying to slow down to the speed of sound is traumatic. Hey, have you noticed the happiest people don't fucking say much for the most part? They're just happy. And the complainers will talk forever and they'll tell you affirmations are lovely. Right. I think you're batshit crazy. But it's so true. Being a being of light, you know, 186,000 miles per second, and you want to slow it all down to the speed of sound. What's sound go? 9.8 meters per second or something? Something like that. No, that's gravity. Anyway, sound's pretty fucking slow, right? So, somebody can Google it if they want. But sound is really 7,000. Thanks, Joe. Yeah. Yep. So sound is really slow, and trying to get that slow is just traumatic. Until we realize that sound is nothing more than entertainment. Look at the rock stars. Man, they make some good money. They figured it out. Sound is for entertainment only. Yeah. There's my friend Jody used to come visit me, because when he was around me, he didn't experience the madness in his head. So he would just come to my house for an hour or two a day and sit on the swing with me, and I'd just sit on the swing. I had nothing to do. I was just enjoying the silence. And so Jody would sit on the swing with me for like 2 hours and then go, yep, had enough silence, time to go create some havoc in the world.
Charge the batteries up, go on again.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just lovely. The mailman, Dave, would come up, and he'd just look, and there'd be these two grinning idiots sitting on this porch swing. It wasn't even a full-size porch swing that two guys could sit on and have some space in between. We were giving each other a man cuddle. but it was just lovely, you know, just... Yeah, there's something about this. If you want to have some fun, I get there's at least three levels to play with here. One, feel free to teach a little bit of this stuff. You know, there's some attitude that shows up whenever you say, lady, you're carrying the cockroaches with you all the time. Time to put them down. Give them a rest. that attitude is vital. Yeah, I do it all day long. I love doing it. You guys know this. Two, imagine lovingly. Just imagine lovingly. Let's just call that. So we'll call the first one sound. It's a little slow saying time and time again, remember the first principle. Remember, feeling is the secret. It's not the movies that you make. Yeah, I've said this thousands and thousands of times. That's the words. It's slow. What's fast is imagining like that young fella Axe, AKS, getting it. Yeah, that's quick. I can imagine lovingly for Axe very fast. That just takes a few seconds, done. We'll call that light. But kinesthetic, what's always here, the feeling, kinesthetic is faster than anything. Kinesthetic doesn't move. It's eternally everywhere. Kinesthetic, let's just call that being still. Any time that you can allow yourself to notice from the stillness and live from the stillness, and that's going on right now even while I'm talking, that rules. That's it. And sitting in the stillness might mean being totally still, or it might mean being still while in motion, but the awareness from the stillness and the awareness of the stillness is always there. How's that? I've got more I want to talk about, but somebody tossed something in.
They're coming from the stillness. That's the place I notice that the most is in times like, well, the simple way of saying it was where I don't know what's going on. So an example would be the job interview that I did, you know, a few weeks back. Yeah, there's those sorts of situations for me where I've got to just be there and I have to be still and I have to wait. You know, that's that waiting for me creates the stillness, gives me that moment where you've got to wait for the input before there's a possibility of output, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
You've worked in sales, yes?
Yeah.
So in every sales situation, there comes the point where the next person who talks takes the product home.
Yeah.
And way too many times, it's the salesman that talks next. That's a very low-level version of this, but it's very street-level and true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And just that. And putting those pauses in, putting that stillness in, gives that opportunity.
I need you to find it where you don't have to wait as well. You get that I didn't wait to say that, so I just demonstrated it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I have a totally unrelated question.
Oh, thank God.
Can I throw this in? All right. Because, you know, earlier I was saying I can see where other people are stuck, and I can't always see where I'm stuck. But what I have trouble with, and especially right now, is really believing the end. And I can think it, especially if I'm really in an emotional place, like the stakes are high. When the stakes are low, it's easy. I call that the small weights. But the big weights for me are when the stakes are really high. And yep. I see the end, and I know the end, and then I have massive doubt. And I think, what if I'm wrong? Like, how do you handle it? And saying to me, go to the end, doesn't do it for me. Because the doubt comes, what if I'm wrong? What if you're wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if it's the other fantasy I have, which is the one of anxiety? What if that's true?
So let's look at it in reverse. Ready? This is good. So instead of going to the end, let's go to the beginning.
Okay.
It all begins with you. If it's a little thing or a big thing, has the essence of you changed?
No.
No, it can't. So when you can't get to the end, go back to the essence of you. In other words, the first principle, but we're bumping into it at a different angle.
Yeah.
I also get, so we can have a stray thought or a stray emotion. A stray emotion isn't necessarily going to manifest. One of the big differences is just really getting, Neville says you've got to believe in the reality of your imaginal act. And so let's say a neggy shows up, and I think about the edge of the property collapsing because of the stream. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. Even if I feel a spike of anxiety about it, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Because I get to go, God, there's a weird fucking fantasy. Yeah, it just goes in the weird fantasy box. It's like the millions of people out there that are fantasizing about hitting the lottery, and they're not feeling financially secure. They're honestly fantasizing about the lottery. Yay, 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 me. But they're not feeling I feel financially secure because I get it. I create the wealth in my life. I am. And just drop into the stillness. So if you can't feel that end is real, and I get most of the people that are on these boards typing the amens and, yeah, I'm going to hit the lottery on Friday using my special six numbers that the crow gave me or whatever, they're not feeling it real. They're feeling excitement. They're feeling fun instead of feeling like slitting their wrists, which I guess is good. Yeah, keep them alive another day. I'm all into staying alive another day because they may get the truth. But the truth is always about you. So we always get to go back to right. You know, if I can or can't feel something as real, let me just go back to me.
I'm very tempted to be very specific.
I know.
I don't know if you want me to or just to hang in that space.
Going to the specific, I get that you know it's a temptation and it's not going to serve you.
Oh, maybe. never mind. I just feel a lot of pressure on me from different people. And it has to do with my film. And we want to see a cut before we'll go forward. And if they like it, it's huge. I mean, they're ready to run. Like, these are big, big deal things that are finally opening up.
What if?
they
can give you conditions, but only you can give you pressure.
Right, exactly. No, I know that. I do know that.
I know.
I'm being dramatic. But my point is that, like, okay, if I be with me and just kind of hang there, and that's fine. I mean, I know I'm bigger than any of this. But with it said, I fall into that place of what if.
And you get to discover this where you don't currently notice it.
Mm-hmm.
We all get to do that. Dang. Who's got the birds? They're gorgeous. Is that Andrew?
Yeah, it is, buddy.
All right. Those are your birds?
Yeah, they're all around, all waking up and saying good morning.
Yeah, I sort of figured that. You know,
well, the cockers?
I think ours have come and gone.
Parrots, parakeets, cockatoos.
I love hearing the New Jersey version of cockatoo.
Yeah. I worked with a guy who had an African gray parrot, and he taught it profanity. So the parrot would say, he literally, and I went to his house, I couldn't believe it, he showed me, he played, he got the parrot, because after repeatedly playing clips from Full Metal Jacket, he had the parrot curse like the sergeant did. In that movie, the dream, what's your name, scumbag? All this
wow.
Ridiculous. I said, you sound ridiculous. But, yeah, and the parrot will mimic any noise it hears. It'll mimic your cell phone or the doorbell perfectly.
So sounds like most people who love affirmations, Joe.
Yeah. That's true. hoping the repeating the affirmation is what is the power, they think.
Yep.
Hey, this is Dave.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave. If I can just toss something in about the end from my dealings in the past few weeks. I'm dealing with some things involving a home, and what I've done is I've kind of expanded the end a little bit so that, you know, I get this or I get something better. And what it's done for me is it's kind of helped me because, A, it takes off some of the pressure. It takes off some of that doubt. Well, what if, you know, I don't control all these things. What if the people, you know, don't want to do this or they do want to do that? And that kind of like, I have no control over that. It's taken some of that pressure off. And also what I've noticed is in the past, probably in the past 4 days, I've met three people that could potentially give me something just as good or better. And so I'm, you know, starting some relationships with them. So just kind of widening what the end can be has been very helpful to me.
I'll tell you how
we explore that here, Dave, because I want to make sure people aren't going $1 million or something better, amen, right? which I'm not a fan of, but I love what you just shared. So for a while, we were imagining buying the plot next door. And I'll be honest, I got busy, and it dropped off my radar, and I stopped feeling that plot was ours, and I focused on building business, house, cottage, everything else, all this stuff that we've done in the past 2 years. And then Ron came along and bought the plot next door. And I remember looking, going, this is interesting, because that was supposed to be ours. And I noticed it was past tense. It's like, right. So here Ron buys the property, and Ron puts in this house that looks like a battleship. I mean, it's massive, and it's got 3 million solar panels on it and so on. He's got enough solar panels he could also fuel our property, right? And I look at it now, and this is my or something better bit. Because I wouldn't have built something there. I would have had it for parking.
Certainly wouldn't have built that.
I certainly wouldn't have built that, right? But when I look at Ron's house, which is like 80% constructed, and he took us through it yesterday, I see a teaching center.
Mm.
And so I go, Ron built the teaching center. Now, Victoria and Russ are going to have to redecorate it at some point so it looks better. Because it just looks way too modern to be sitting next to our ancient house. But when I look at it, I see a teaching center, and I see where there's parking over there, and there's 4 bedrooms for people to sleep in, and
the theater room at the end is perfect.
And the
conferences and
yep.
showing on the screen, the massive screen,
yep.
different things.
Yeah, he's showing us his movie room, and it's like, yep, that's the main teaching room. There's a kitchen. There's a little foyer when you come in. It's perfect. It's the perfect teaching center. So, and I've discovered something over the past couple of years. I don't like people. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but when I say that, I mean I love my space. I love that we're here and the rest of the world generally isn't. And I love that that members of the general world can stop over once in a while, but I don't see them every day. And I love that we can invite you down. Hey, come on down. Here's the cottage. Here's the house. If you want to sleep in the teaching center, fine. But I don't want you using my bathroom every 10 minutes. So, yeah, I want some space, right? So Ron has created that for us, which is fascinating. Because if I look at what I really want, what I want is the sacredness of our property. What I want is people to love the property who come on it. But I also want to know we've got some privacy. We've got our downtime. We've got our sacredness, and we can tell y'all like go next door, right? Yeah, go play over there for a while. How's that?
Wow.
What do you think about all that, babe?
I can relate because the people that I've met are people that own homes on the block that I want to buy into. And
yep.
one of them is actually, and I just met her by chance walking, because all these houses are across the street from a park that I really like. The person, walking through the park, I just happened to meet the person that owns kind of like the most beautiful house on the whole block. You know, people go there on walking tours, you know.
Sweet.
For, you know, people when they do their architecture walking tours. And because their house is not across the street from the park, it's actually in the park.
Oh, and gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. And all these people, they're not selling their house at the moment, but I'm not buying at the moment either. But
yeah,
I just
totally
want to build the relationship with them, so when the time comes, they go, you know, let's let Dave know about this, that we're going to sell the house.
Yes.
So,
for background, we had Dave imagining sitting on a park bench, I believe, with a grandkid or two.
Yeah.
In the park. So we've got him in the neighborhood, and so suddenly he's meeting people in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Absolutely.
So the inn still takes him to the park, but it doesn't put pressure on him for a particular property.
Oh yeah, it's not a watered down vision at all. It's
totally
just a slightly widened vision that can even make me happier.
Yes. There's the big chunk. We talk about feeling financial freedom, and then like once I feel financial freedom, business shows up for me. I love business. I love systems. I love helping people. I just love communication and connection and helping people make connections. Yeah, I think you guys can tell, right?
Yeah.
But all that comes from the feeling of financial freedom. If I didn't feel that, I'd be wiping butts. And I did that. And if I stopped feeling that again but felt it a little more, I'd start selling credit card processing and making $1,000 a day. That was good fun. But it wasn't what I wanted to do. But I was feeling more financial freedom. But that got me back into business systems.
What I also like about what Dave just demonstrated and you were saying,
yep,
about the training that you talked about with him about eating a sandwich in the park with his granddaughter, or maybe not a sandwich, can't remember, but sitting on the park bench with,
yep,
his granddaughter, yeah? So it suddenly brings it really home. That area is like, he's part of my family.
Yes.
This is the familiar park bench that we sit on. We love it. And you demonstrated that right in the beginning of the call as well, when the anxiety of the citizenship test was transferred to a different space of time.
Yes.
Of the anxiety of maybe entering America on an Australian passport.
Yep, totally.
So it's like this play with time zones in the future that become, do you know what I mean, when there's an anxiety over the present bit, to move it further into the future, like you're looking back still. I don't know, that sort of concept I really like.
It's all right, Bobby.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really effective. Yeah.
Finding, if you're going to feel a problem feeling, put it where there's a useful problem.
What? Say it again?
If you're going to feel a problem feeling, put it where there's a useful problem.
Yes.
I've shut down people for sharing my shit. I've got Google alerts out there, and they tell me, hey, you can buy the, Dave, name an old product of mine.
Vibrating palm, martial arts piece.
Cool. Yeah. Instantly download the vibrating palm videos, by blah, 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 so on and so forth. And I see that's mine, right? Somebody's selling it. So here's what I do. This is a problem. It used to piss me off. It doesn't bother me at all now. But when it pissed me off, I'd go buy it. And once I bought it, I'd say, this is mine. This is my intellectual property. I'm going to shut you down unless you remove it. And they promptly do. But that's what I used to do when I got upset about stuff. If I had an upset now going on, I'd try to find a moment like that, because that obviously implies that my vibrating palm video is in demand, right? So if I was just producing the vibrating palm videos, I would imagine having to shut people down that are selling them besides me. If I felt an upset, if I was nervous while producing it, you get it?
Mm.
So you feel that you caused it?
What's cool is, so maybe I do cause in the future somebody selling my vibrating palm video, right? But that's a great problem to have, because it implies that the video's done and doing well. And in the end, I mean, heck, I didn't lose that much money with some guy selling it.
Well, you even had that person come to you who bought it off, who got it for free off a download site.
Yes.
And then said, "I want to pay you money for this." He'd already
totally.
Got it for free.
Yep.
But approached 20 and said, "Here, can I pay you because this is ace?"
Yeah, this is good stuff. So, can I give you money too? Hey, Emma.
And I want to put a tiny little spin on it, a different way of looking at it. It sounds to me what you're saying is everything that you perceive as a problem is actually not a problem at all. And if you look at it in a different way, it's a very positive outcome for what's really happening.
It could be. I can think of ways to do that that wouldn't be functional, but this seems to work well for me.
But you know what I'm saying? We could look at everything as a problem when it really isn't a problem.
Do you know my mother?
Do you know mine?
And mine.
Oh, my God. My mom got in a neighbor. My mom's neighbor moved out. It's always a problem. There's a new neighbor, there's a no neighbor.
Right.
Fuck. What a hoot.
But you know what I'm saying is we perceive things as problems when, like a day later, they're not going to be a problem. Or a week later, over Tori's saying we're looking back on it, and then we go back, it wasn't a problem. But in the moment, it feels like a problem.
Some people eat when they're hungry. I don't eat when I'm hungry. I eat on a schedule. I find that I eat better if I eat on a schedule, because if I wait till I'm hungry, I'm going to want to eat sugar, salt, stuff that the body craves when it's in crisis. The body loves sugar in a crisis. The body loves salt in a crisis. When there's no crisis, the body likes spices. You know, I've got time to play and really cook the food well. And I get that we really get addicted to this stuff. The physical body does. And we... Oh, that's gorgeous, Andrew.
Mm.
But we really get to go, right, you know, am I going to be a reaction to hunger, or am I going to schedule my meals a little bit more proactively? Am I going to be a victim to problems, or am I going to go, right, here's just another event, another thing I got to just deal with in the daily life, you know? It's natural that I go for citizenship. I'm going to be here forever. I might as well do the citizen thing, right? It simplifies a lot of stuff long term. Short term inconvenience, long term, But it really does all come down to the attitude. Can you imagine what Neville's teacher, Ab, what his problems were? He was a black man in the old days in the U.S. in New York City. If there was a guy that should have had problems, it was him. And he went to the opera and he drank heavily and he taught Neville for half a decade or so, you know? He went where he wanted to because he had the attitude. Where do you want to go? Anyone here?
I just want to toss in that I think I see why Neville had that, to me at least, had an element of being belligerent or whatever. Because, you know, that's what we do when we look at facts, you know. We just kind of say, screw them. You know, I know the shadow world, as it's called, you know, as he calls it, is catching up to what I've imagined. So, screw the facts. And that's what I noticed. Like, when I think about it, Neville didn't have a bad attitude at all about people. But sometimes he would, when he got a little belligerent, it'd be about facts. Or
totally.
Maybe sometimes beliefs, but never people, it seemed like.
Totally.
Neville said the rational mind is just interference.
Yes. How many pieces can you cut a pizza into? That's what the rational mind does. We've got to cut it into little rationed pieces so everybody gets some. God, you can cut it forever. You can cut it to the point where you might as well just feed it through a grinder, which is what the rational mind does eventually. Just grinds it all up to nothing. We've got a generic Vitamix. I can't imagine putting a pizza in it. You know, it just wouldn't be fun what comes out. There's the rational mind. It's great for smoothies. You know, it's great for balancing.
Pizza smoothie.
Yeah, pizza smoothie. Come on over, Andrew. Yeah, Andrew and Yasmin, bring the boys. Hey, Bubs.
Yeah, you can give my bit to Bruce, eh?
Fair enough. Oh, he'd love it. Ooh, pizza smoothie, my favorite.
I just wanted to say something about the attitude.
Yes.
What I've noticed for me, what's been working lately is when I actually don't accept something. It's
totally
strange, but you know, saying, I mean, okay, somebody would say something to me or come to me with a proposition or maybe a problem, but just
yep.
saying to, you know, I don't even have to tell them that I don't accept it. I can just say it to myself, that I don't accept it. It just brings the power home again. And in that moment, it's as if the answer, like what I really want, kind of jumps out automatically without me doing anything. So not accepting things, I think, has been very liberating for me, and it's actually pointed my life into the direction that I really want to go, and not just think about, yeah, I don't want that, or it could be better, or maybe work around it. No, I don't accept it. What do you want? That's the next question that comes to my mind. That's what I want. Bam. You know, that I don't know, that's for me, but I really wanted to point that out, that I get that through Neville. He says it time and time again, you know. It's good. It's a nice thing that you mentioned that thing about the Joe about the rational mind. You know, we tend to process everything. What does it mean? Will it be good for me? You know, what consequences does it have? No, you accept it or you don't. It's as simple as that. If you don't, what do you accept? If you do accept, then okay, roll with it. But you know, that's part of the Neville attitude that I've taken into my life. And I like it.
Really nailing the first month. I'm going to ask two questions in just a moment, so I'm going to give you guys a chance to ponder them. One, I want you to ask me anything while we're here on this last call for this course. And two, ponder what your best bit from the entire course was. I'm really curious about those. What I hear, if you want to nail the process that Peter's talking about with rejection, the easiest way I found to do that is really nailing your three primary purposes. If something doesn't fit with me being a loving husband, loving puppy dad, loving teacher, it probably doesn't get done, or it gets rejected. The pizza that showed up here the other night that was not the pizza that I wanted, again, yeah, I imagine drinking cold beer with pizza. The beer wasn't cold when the pizza arrived. So, of course, I got the wrong pizza, so I had to wait till the beer's cold to eat. Another part of that was when I opened up the pizza, I wasn't going to be happy eating it. I was not going to be a happy, loving husband. I would have been a grumpy husband eating that pizza. So grumpy loving husband goes, do I want to go to the state of grumpy husband? Not really, right? I want to have a beer and the pizza I ordered. And sure enough, boom, everything worked out perfectly. But this whole thing of rejection is really sweet. And once you nail your three primary bits, you know, like I say, mine, loving husband, loving puppy dad, loving teacher, it's easy to just say no to anything in life. You know, yeah, bang. So anybody have any questions about anything?
I got a couple of things I'd like to throw in. One, we're talking about problems and
yep.
putting them in the right place, I suppose, for lack of a better word. And I noticed that one of my problems has always been, you know, what's next? And I've noticed over the last couple of years at least, that what's next has gone from, oh, fuck, what's next, to, cool, what's next?
Yeah, nice.
You know, and it's kind of, it's what's been it happening with my, it's what's been happening with my job, you know, in this process of, you know, downtime between jobs. It's been the process that's been there has been completely, you know, well, yeah, but what's next? And when I nailed, you know, well, what I want to do, what I want out of employment is not employment or money or anything like that. What I want is to learn, you know, and what I want to learn is, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever it is. You know, that's when the employment showed up.
Sure. Absolutely.
And
when you nail,
the other bit
when you nail what you want, it shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the other bit, which is the question that I've got, is on, you know, making movies and feeling it real and all that kind of stuff. The making movies bit, I suck at, right?
Sure.
If I want to sit down and create a scene and do all that kind of stuff, it, for me, it's kind of sits more with struggle than it does with freedom. But what I can nail is the feeling of the end. So is it even necessary to put those movies into place?
No. Two things with you. One, your movie screen's behind you. That may or may not be useful.
Yasmin.
Yasmin.
No, she does the movies.
So number two, feeling's the secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Do you know it's done? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the first feeling, the knowing. The second set of feelings is the emotions and the sensations. Feel free to explore some of those just for fun. I like business. You guys know I like business. Fuck, yeah, you guys come over and visit, and I sneak in to look at the computer just for 10 fucking seconds, man. I just got to toss up a comment. Yeah. Oh, an idea came up for a system. Oh, let me jot some notes down real quick. I can't help it. good fun. When you have the knowing and you have that emotion and you have that sensation, that little triangle just crushes it. Yeah. The need for a scene, you'll find you'll need scenes less and less.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where I've been going, and it's been I until this moment I was putting it in the place of I'm not doing it right, but knowing that I am because the feeling's the secret, right?
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, you know, I can't do that bit, so let's labor on it.
See, I had a feeling a long time ago about me and Victoria walking in the sand with the boys. The scene that showed up was me and Victoria on the beach with two of her brother's kids, right?
Yeah.
What we got is me and Victoria going to the sand pit pretty much every day with these boys. They actually have human names, Emmett and Bruce. One of them looks like one of the Savory boys. The other one looks like another one of the Savory boys. Fuck, man. How fucking weird is that to me? We manifested two boys, pups, with human names, and we take them to the sand every day. I imagine that years ago. That was just one of my things, like one of the happy times. It'd be like me and Victoria walking and... But the scene was all wrong. The scene was at the beach with two humans, and it turns out that they're both four-leggeds. Sweet. But the feeling's there.
Mm. Yeah.
Joy.
So the feeling won. This goes back to Dave's thing where he mentioned this or something better. I am not a fan of the phrase at all. I'm a fan of what Dave's doing and having to put into those words. But this or something better has turned into our daily trip to the dog park. Fuck, I love it. Every day, our typical day involves the four of us getting in a car and going down the road. God, I love it. But I couldn't have figured all that out. You know, all I could figure out was, right, there's this feeling, and it's always there. So, sweet. So even if you use a scene, you might not get what's going on in the scene, but you'll definitely get what the real feeling is behind it. For those who are making scenes.
Yeah.
Andrew, Laurel. This is Laurel talking. I believe it or not, I have a very hard time with scenes as well. I completely identify with what you're saying. And I get almost like I get a snapshot and just the feeling. and it's the same snapshot, and then it's kind of elation or whatever the feeling is. But if I try to do an actual scene, I can't stay in it. Most of the time, I can't, but most of the time I can't.
You could make your scenes really fast, like Victoria's door click, Laurel.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Exactly.
Yep,
that
would work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But even a 15-second scene might be way too long and of a struggle
for
you. Versus,
I've tried them, and I lose them, and I'm like, but I have the feeling. The feeling is really there. And so, it's just a moment seems to work for me. But the other thing, as I said earlier, it is the relaxation that works really well for me. It's just knowing that it's like when you're talking about financial freedom, for me that's a feeling.
Yeah,
and that's an emotion. And that I get that. I really get it. And that's the point where things shift for me.
Nice. Nailing these little points we're getting, this is how I succeed, is sweet. Because you can get better at those, and you can also know I can experiment with other things, but I can always fall back to my primary weapon. When I carried a gun, I carried a gun for 20 years. I always carried it in the same exact spot. It was a right hip holster. I always carried it in the same spot because my hand knew how to get there. If I carried a backup weapon, that could vary. But I automatically could draw from my right-handed hip holster with either hand because I knew it that well. That was that intimate. So when you find what works for you, really get intimate with it. And then feel free to experiment with some other bits. You know, but find which bits of this really work for you. In other words, Peter can try on Laurel, and Laurel can try on Peter. But, you know, always go back to your primary weapon at first.
It's also interesting to me, Andrew, until you said that, I wasn't really that aware that I wasn't able to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's like I heard you say that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel that way too. But I wasn't that aware that I was struggling with it, if that makes any sense.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think it's getting stuck on the words sometimes.
It's all right, buddy. Emmett's really into quiet time in the morning. So it's like you guys are talking too much. Off.
What's up, Emmett?
Your brother. Cool. Anybody, any other questions before we dive into what your best bits from the course were?
I don't have a question, but I think I just wanted to mention something. I mean,
I got a request for you.
For you.
Yes. I want you to never, ever say that phrase again because you're not fully honoring you.
Okay.
You've got gold. You, my friend, you have gold to share. And when you say, I just wanted to say something, you just cut your legs off.
Okay. Okay, is everyone listening?
Nice. It feels different. Oh. Feel that movement in you?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah.
Nice.
It's just that, you know, listening to Laurel and listening to Andrew, what comes to me is Neville shares different techniques, and of course you, 20, you know, with your toolbox, you've just, you know, watered them down beautifully. But what I wanted to say was, you know, not everything works for us. Not everything works in the same way for each different person. And because, you know, I've tried different things, and I've noticed where things start taking off for me. But until that moment, you know, that doubt of it's not working for me or I can't do it, and look at that person, he's doing that, so maybe I should do that, and it still doesn't work, that all that kind of just holds us back. It's a self-sabotage conversation that, you know, I can't do it, I'm feeling frustrated, I'm really trying, you know, like, so we try to say to ourselves, yeah, you're doing the right thing. Hang in there. It's going to happen eventually. No. It will happen once you understand that you can do it. You don't have to sit down for 15 minutes at 7:30 in the morning. You can just feel it real in an instant once you see something, and, you know, that feeling will stay with you for maybe the rest of the day. So you've been feeling it real all day long. That's much better than maybe sitting down and having just a very specific imaginative session, you know, for 10 minutes in the morning. I don't know. Maybe. So what I just wanted to say was, a lot of the time when we're working on something, especially something that we're passionate about, I've noticed that in the past, not so much now, but in the past, there has been some sneaky crap showing up saying, man, you ain't doing it properly. How do you expect it to work? No, if it doesn't work that way, let me try something else. And then I get the feeling of it maybe through somebody else, maybe through something I've seen, maybe through something I've heard, maybe through nothing, just sitting there enjoying my coffee. It will come to me. But it will come to me because we are that oneness. We are that stillness. And, you know, we might have a different road to it, but, you know, the destination is, you know, we're there anyway.
The stillness always reveals it. It's in the stillness that Laurel notices, dang, cool, got it. Or Andrew notices, not that, but this. It's always that stillness. That the first principle is so good. Yeah, that and the state akin to sleep. They're so closely, they're such close cousins. And people get so caught up in, yeah, which lecture Neville mentioned Millikan and exactly what did Millikan do? And it's like, fuck's sake, man, you know, stop worshiping Millikan and affirmations and just go to the things that are universal in the teachings. Yeah, be still. Yeah, sit in the silence. Yeah, there's a reason why he ended every lecture the same.
Yeah.
Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah.
And it shifts and it changes. And, you know, what I'm noticing right now is, like, I can't sit down, like I was saying, and create those scenes. You know, what works for me is just the feeling, just knowing it. You know, what's the feeling? Is it whatever it is? But yet sometimes, like I'm thinking again about the interview I had a few weeks back, sometimes that day leading, or the day before leading up to that interview, everything slowed down. And it was in that, you know, silence that occurred. And it was because when the scene started painting itself, that slowed everything down, and it gave me a moment to think and really create for that interview exactly the specifics of it, I suppose. It's not really the specifics, but it is. And that, yeah, it's just that speeding up and slowing down, and it happens when it needs to.
Yes.
I have something else I just wanted to say. I think a lot of people... Okay. Listen to this, everybody. Sometimes I think that a lot of people...
Listen to this, everybody. There's your new phrase. Nice.
Okay. All right. You know, we tend to maybe create a scene around something that we want to fix, or a problem, or something that we don't like. That's okay. But just the other day, I got home and I was okay. I was a bit tired. You know, we've been running around doing things, but I felt this. But it was a good day. I mean, I was feeling good. I was good, and I just felt this urge to just sit down and make that good better for some reason. And I wasn't thinking about a specific problem or like a bill or a crisis. Nothing. I just, and to everybody out there, seriously, do that. Try that. Even if you're on a good day, just sit down and just maximize it, you know, and just dwell in it. And it was sweet. It was sweet for me, and it was amazing. You know, maybe I was sitting there for maybe half an hour. I don't even remember. And I just got up, and I was just like, okay, let's fly.
There's a reason why we called it Manifesting to the Max, and you just nailed it.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah, you know it. Nice. So here's what I want to know. If everybody would share, what's been your best bits from the course? Just, and the reason I want you to share it is your best bit might be something somebody else entirely missed. And you sharing your best bit with your uniqueness, even if you just say what it is or you say something about it, it doesn't matter. You're going to give to everyone in the group. In other words, we're just tossing anchors out for each other. So I'll go last. And then we'll also do a, what do you think? What's your best bit and what are you thankful for? We'll tie those together.
This is Victoria.
Wow.
My best bit is actually exactly what Bill just said, because I remember reading that, I think it was in the second month of revision, and not revising the crisis, but doing, like, revising...
that wasn't Bill. Sorry, that wasn't Bill.
Oh, sorry, I don't know who that was then. Sorry, but, yeah.
Peter.
Doing the revision... Oh, yeah, sorry, Peter. Revising what was great to something even better, more excellent, and it's like, yeah, Peter just kept it then and for me to remember that. So I loved that bit, and I'm thankful for these calls.
Oh, they've been ace.
Yeah, I just love them.
You guys get us out of bed at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
This is sweet.
Don't blame us.
Don't blame us, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll just blame Joe.
There you go.
That's great. Who's next?
I had... yeah, the phone calls have been the greatest part of the course. I have not gone through. There's a ton of stuff you put in the course, and I haven't gone through all of it. I'm still working on it, but they are excellent. The 18-inch adventure was excellent, especially in the last call a month ago. That was very, very impressive and had an impact on me. So I would do it. I've been doing it more often, and I intend to do it even more often than that. I love you guys. I love the group. I love Neville's work. Coming across this past week, Sammy's question. If anyone hasn't seen that article, that talking about seeing things from the end. That was I never saw that part of the lecture before. And where Neville explains to Sammy that it is important to look at your life as if from the top of the mountain, rather than look, oh, God, I have this mountain to climb. The first thing you should do is picture yourself from the top of the mountain, saying, wow, that was a hell of a trip, but I made it.
Yeah.
So that it's been an impressive couple of months, and I had a good time. TT, you outdid yourself with F-bombs today. I think I'm pretty sure that the tally is either 12 or 13. I sort of lost track around there, and you have one shit and one bad shit if anyone's counting. This is very impressive stuff that we all do, those are my comments.
You must have a lot of fingers, Joe.
No, I was like, well, again? You kept going. I'm like, again? Again with this guy?
Nice.
But
nice.
Either way.
Nice. Thank you, Joe. We love you, too.
Yep.
Who's next? Emmett. Good boys.
My favorite bit of the whole experience has been these calls. Again, I'm going to mirror what you said, Joe. But the calls, honestly, you know, where do we get the opportunity to connect with a group of people that are so intimate? That's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's my favorite part of the last couple of months.
Maybe not the 4 a.m. Alarm.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm grateful for is just noticing.
like even just noticing that, you know, there's a connection there, the beauty of that, and it all comes back to noticing.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. This is, if I could sneakily call this something different, it would be the art of noticing. Because what are you noticing? How are you noticing? Where are you noticing it from? It ain't about speaking. It's about what are you hearing? What are you seeing? It's so
yeah,
simple.
What are you pointing, baby?
Mm.
Mm.
And if I can, just follow on from that, because that's exactly what I was going to say for me has been the best bit is noticing now and noticing just how quick things happen. They're becoming instant, or you know they always have been, but just noticing that they're instant, noticing what triggered it, noticing the ignition, and then boom, it's there. Or it happens, you know, I have a thought and then it's there. And that's really cool. I love days like that. I love, you know, I'm always telling Andrew the stories of things that have happened. Very exciting. Another one, 20, actually, while I was listening to your, some of the record, the Neville Nibbles last night, and I even made a note on my phone, and you said, you were talking about desires.
Yes.
And your quote was, I don't want those coals to be put out by your thoughts.
Yep.
And that just really struck me, you know, those desires that come from your belly. You know, don't let your head get in the way of those.
Totally.
Mm.
Nice.
Nice. The calls, absolutely, as well. I'm very thankful for being able to be on these calls. I'm sorry this is the last one. I wish there were more.
Yep.
What you're telling us is helping us design what's next. So way cool, thank you.
Yes.
Way cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So thank you, everyone.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank
you, Yasmin. I'm going to jump in here. Oh, is someone else talking?
Well, okay. I can wait on you. Go ahead.
No, I can wait on you. You go ahead.
No, you before me, me before you. This is Sharon in Texas, and I'm very grateful for the program. I'm very grateful that I found your site, Plenty and Victoria, and I've learned a lot. I appreciate it, and I do like these calls a lot, and I like hearing other people's perspectives and struggles and knowing that I, too, have passed through some of these, and maybe that's something I need to consider and know that I'll be able to overcome it or imagine overcoming. Because what I try to bring myself back to every time is, wait a minute, this is my imagination that's going on here, and let's just start over with it. So...
Nice.
That's been something that I've just had to hold on to. And so, thank you.
Mm. Thank you, Sharon. Cool.
Okay, now I'll jump in. Are you done, Sharon?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good. This is Laurel.
Hey, Laurel.
What I've loved, just like everybody else, I've loved these calls. I have a fantasy, I have a dream that someday we'll have a conference and we'll actually physically be able to meet each other in person, because I feel like we've really built a community here, and this feels like
totally.
Just the tip of the iceberg for me, and it's almost like a tease, because I don't like not being able to see people, and it's a little disembodied for me, but I really love them and I love these calls, and I do feel like we're just getting started. And I don't want to see them end either. One of my most favorite things, I think, of the whole course, and I admit I haven't gone to the website much. It's, you know, I actually really like connection, like you, Tony. I really like the one-on-one connection or connecting with people even on the internet. And yep. One of the things that was most, it was actually scary for me, and I was a bit intimidated last time when you went and heard people's thought patterns, speech patterns, and was just sort of jumping in and figuring out how best people can use that last time. And I actually, and I was a bit shy about talking. And when I did, it was really, really helpful to me. And I really took that back and say, oh, my God, you're right. And what something I was already doing, I realized that's what I need to continue doing. So I found that incredibly helpful. The other thing, though, that I want to say in terms of what I'm most grateful for is just yesterday I was thinking how this group and these teachings have been woven into the fabric of my life. And I used to dive, and it reminds me of when I dive and then you go underwater and you realize there's a whole world down there. And totally. That I'm really, there's the outer world and there's the inner world. And the inner world is so rich. And so I'm now, when I go through the world, I kind of sometimes go back and forth between the two. And when I sit wherever I am, I can always go into that inner world, which has become so rich. And nice. The other day I was talking to this friend of mine, and she said, you know, every morning she gets up and she tries not to go to the computer for X amount of hours. And I said, boy, that's the opposite for me. I like going on first thing in the morning. Why? Because I connect to people. And yes. I go to this group and I see what people are doing. And that's how I start most of my days. Because for me, it feels like connection.
Totally. Totally. Boy, is that spot on. You know, it's funny. You think you came to Australia for one reason. You came to Australia to have lunch with us.
Well, you know, you're going to laugh, but part of before I left for Australia, I said, I don't know why I'm going. And I said, I think I'm going to meet you. I swear to God, I said that. Because I was going on this trip. I'm like, I don't understand why I'm going. You know, but I knew I had to meet you. So that's really why I went to Melbourne, you know. I wasn't supposed to go to Melbourne.
There we go.
But yeah, no, this group has been just, it for me, extraordinary.
Just getting
Thank
started.
You.
You're so right. This is the tip of the iceberg.
It is the tip of the iceberg. And I don't know if other people feel that way, but I've always had a dream of really, I don't know why we're not having a conference. I mean, it just feels really natural thing to do, to actually meet one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dream.
I think we're going to call them reunions.
What was that?
I think we're going to call them reunions.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. In your training for the 20th.
Say again?
And I said, I'll produce it for you. I'll produce the event.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And the next time you come to New York, TT, we'll bring you to Carmine's.
fair enough.
Carmine's is awesome. Every chance I get.
I will take your word for it. Yeah, you're the expert there.
I tried. Laurel, also, I was the other thing, quickly, the thought on my mind, what helps the times I've worked on movie sets, and it's a great thing for scenes, great rule of thumb anyway, tends to be for the action in the scene, arrive late and leave early. Like, have the actors get through work, arriving to the point that they delivering their lines, get the point across, done, cut, move on to the next scene before it gets stale.
Speed.
Yeah, speed, arrive late, leave early. It's a it's a rule, an old rule of thumb.
Thank you. One last thing I want to say before I depart. It's hard for me to separate this course from the whole thing, you know, the gestalt of all of the teaching. And one of the things that I find really, really helpful for me that I learned on the site is the 70/7, and to remember that when I fall out of my state, to just go back. And
nice.
If it has to happen 70 times a day, that's what it has to be. And that, for me, has been one of the new, most powerful tools. I just want to throw it out
That's it's also why we tossed ignition in, so you can notice, because you're going to put the sparks out. Yeah, it's just one of those inevitable things. We do it as humans. But as a divinity, we can keep re-sparking. So how many ignition moments can you have in a day? Boom, 70 times 7.
Exactly, and I could feel my, as soon as I start going off, I don't give it attention. And when I do give it attention, I notice. And I'm like, oh, that's stupid, go back. And it's just a shift.
Yeah, ain't that beautiful? You just keep pedaling the bike.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I wanted to say that just, you know, I think this is...
Everybody listen.
I mean, I feel like we could speak on the phone for hours, you know. Mm-hmm.
But by the way, Tamika picked up the man who married me for a reason. You get to pick up everybody listen for a reason.
But I think that it's just marvelous that in some way, in ways that we can't explain or basically comprehend, I don't know how many of us are on this call, but we are all, like, my phone is actually inside my ear drum right now. It's, like, stuck inside my brain. And I think that's just, that's amazing, you know. I mean, just this connection, this universal connection with people all over the world, you know, everyone with their own thing going on. I was going to say with their own problems, but then I said with their own thing because, you know, I think that's more important. Going back to the work that you've done, 20, you know, I mean, I expressed, you know, in the past many times, I just, I'm so grateful that, you know, our roads have crossed in this lifetime, and I think there's something unique about that in some way, I guess, right now that I can't comprehend. But, I mean, you know, if I was to look back on my own shift in my life over the past 2 years, it's just the list goes on and on and on, and so I'm very grateful to you for everything that you've done. And, you know, and I've noticed that you've also changed as a person. I think I've also mentioned that to you before, and that's nice, you know. Honoring, I think everyone should honor themselves no matter what manifestations have happened or whatever anything has happened. Just honor yourselves. Honor yourselves for noticing that you're here and you're noticing who you are every single day, coming back to who we are. As far as the recordings and the course is concerned, I will agree a bit with Laurel that, you know, sometimes you can't make that big distinction. You know, when does the manifesting, you know, end, and when does the manifesting to the max begin? I think it's part of, it's just part of the whole meal. But I guess, you know, we are at the tip of the iceberg, you know. There's a moment where I actually felt this huge connection for some strange reason, 20, in one of your recordings. I think it was when you were enjoying one of your cigars and just, you know, when you were explaining how you enjoy that silent smoke with the other person from your native teaching days. And I was like, wow, man, you know, it could be a smoke, it could be a coffee, it could be a drink, it could be nothing, it could be a meal, it could be anything, but I truly feel that, you know, that sharing, because we're sharing right now, we're sharing each other, it's just something which is amazing to me. You know, there's always an answer with Neville. That's, you know, if anything ever comes up, there's always an answer with Neville. Always go back to Neville. Go back and go back and go back. And that's one thing I wanted to say. And the other thing I wanted to say was, I'm just so grateful to everybody in the group, you know, for tossing up feelings, ideas, and you know, questions. Because, you know, I'm sure that not everybody posts online every day, but whoever is active and whoever is noticing, you know, we go on there and you know, we study because this is part of, you know, you have to. I mean, you can't not to. You can't not. You're not well if you don't. You know, there's something missing. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, I love you guys, and your sense of humor just totally cracks me up. And, yeah, and we've, you know, we've shared. I don't know. Maybe it's a cocoa mint licorice tea 20 or a Rocky Patel, yep. But, you know, or with everyone else, you know, we've shared nice steaks. And, you know, I'm just waiting for that to show up in the Echoville. So blessings to all of you out there. And I really hope that, you know, the successes and the good times that are coming are nothing compared to what's actually more vast down the road in the future for every single one of you. And thank you very much.
Sweet, Peter. Thank you. Love you, too.
Yes. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, this is Dave.
Y'all got me scared to talk now. No joke.
Hey.
We got Dave and
Tamika. I would say the best bit I picked up was visiting the belly. Because what I find is that's a great place to go because it really allows me to really feel it real, you know, to see the detail, to feel the feelings, but then also adding a lot of really cool kinesthetic things to it, you know, touches and hugs and picking things up, and it just becomes so much more of a real experience. So that was the best bit for me.
Nice.
The thing that I'm really thankful for is just the contribution that U20 and Neville have made to my life in the last, especially even in the last week. I'm kind of I would say I'm a hybrid. Okay, that's the best word I can think of. Because on one hand, I really love Neville and all his brilliant ideas. And at the same time, I'm also a very traditional Christian. And I'm finding that what I'm learning from Neville is really adding to my life and helping me to have a better life. Yeah, just quickly, I've been unemployed or been between jobs since January. And then what I noticed just, oh my gosh, a few weeks ago, is that all the cool stuff, I'm Nevilleizing real important things in my life, but somehow I wasn't Nevilleizing about getting a job, which was definitely an important thing. I was kind of spinning my wheels on that. And so I just really added that to the list of Nevilleizing things. And then, so I start my new job next Sunday. I've got that. That's taken care of. And
nice,
then,
Dave.
Excellent. Congrats. Hey, 20, and then you and I kind of have a little running gag how I've got my Neville bonuses, which are things that are, they're really not important. They're not core life things. They're just be fun things to have. And one of them was that I get a free iPad, and I got an email Friday night, 20, from my new boss saying they're going to give me an iPad. So got my Neville bonus.
Nice. Sweet. Sweet.
So thanks, 20.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Cool.
Okay. Hi again.
Tamika.
Yes, I just want to hurry up and say a few things so I can get to my baby's birthday party.
Wow.
What I want to say was I'm glad, you know, it was just funny when you said I manifested the man who married me, yes, so I can manifest things through him. So I thought that was very funny for myself. So, but anyways, I enjoyed the course. I enjoyed all the course that we have. I enjoy us all being, I look forward to this. I always look forward to coming on every, on our Sundays that we do come. And then I also like when you spoke about our, how we speak and how we manifest things the way we speak or, you know, the way, how would you say that? Basically, how we speak. I'm just trying to say it the best way I can, the way I speak. And I just like that. I noticed that you helped me, that you helped us notice that. That through the way we speak.
With the patterns, yes.
Yeah, with our patterns. Yeah, how we manifest things through our patterns. And I enjoy the page
as far as the manifesting to the Max page. I enjoy all the goodies on there. I get a chance to listen to them while I'm sitting in my office and things like that. And that's, I love that. What I, that's what I got out of the whole thing. But I just love the basically our phone reunion, how we all unite together and how we are all on one accord and helping us strengthen each other with, you know, listening to each other.
You bet.
Some might, you know, some of it is probably, some of it is our weakness and some of it is our strength, but we all come together and help strengthen each other through the whole thing. And I appreciate that, and I love that. And I look forward to being a part of something like this again, because I know you're going to have more things like this again. So I'm a little more, I'm looking forward to it. So, but I appreciate you all. So I'm going to run to my baby's party. And y'all have a good and blessed day, okay?
Thanks, Tamika.
You too, Tamika. See ya.
Take care.
Bye.
Big love to everyone.
Bye-bye.
Anyone else?
I just wanted to say one, two things. Sorry. Okay,
no.
Listen, everybody. No, okay,
yeah.
No.
Yes.
Well, number one. Imagination is the source. You posted something on Facebook 2 days ago, and I was like, bam, that's it. We tend to forget so many times with everything that's going on that it all starts within us. That's the first thing. And the second thing I wanted to say was, I think it was maybe episode 44, 43 or something like that, I don't really remember, but I asked you that question of, you know, when what do we do when we get stuck between the heart and the belly? And,
right.
You know, that for me just broke down all limitations that, you know, I was feeling until that point. So the 18-inch adventure or ignition or just feeling it in the belly, as Dave said, I think that for me has been somewhat of a revelation, and I think it's amazing. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Sweet.
Cool.
Nice.
This is Sharon in Texas again. I have a thought.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could have a little membership something. I'm sure you'll think it up, where there's a call monthly that your community, your tribe, can be a part of. And because it seems like many of us like to hear voices, not just Twitter or Facebook,
yep,
or that kind of thing. That would be nice. I would enjoy it.
It's in the works. You guys really, it's definitely in the works. You guys definitely, this makes a difference. So this is cool.
Great. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome, Sharon. All right, last call before I go.
I actually have a question for Laurel.
Yes.
Is she there?
I'm here.
Okay, 20 knows about this, but I have this feeling that I have to I have to bring Neville to the screen.
Uh-huh.
So that's my thought. Maybe 10 years from now, I don't know. Just I'm casting the seed out right now.
Yeah, I know. I've had the same thought.
my strength as an actor, I've definitely noticed that I do quite well with this, you know, these type of things. And I just feel this feeling that I have to interpret this man on the big screen in some way. So
mm-hmm.
That's my thought.
Sweet. This,
great.
This is the
yeah,
tip, this is
write
the tip
to me
of
about
the
it.
Iceberg.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Nice.
When I read Mitch's Horowitz's article, did you
yep.
all read that article on Neville?
No.
Do you know which article
yeah.
I'm talking about? And right. And I had that thought. I said I got a much fuller understanding of his life, and I immediately thought somebody has to make a film about him at some point. And I realized, spent like a day. I said, you're not thinking about another film. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, never again. That's the way it happens.
Yes, you are.
And you've got the whole cast on the phone call here, Laura.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Peter, write me. We'll talk.
Okay, we'll talk. Okay.
We'll talk.
I'm really, if I say I'm grateful for y'all being here or that we love you guys, both those are a tremendous understatement. What I live for is, y'all know my super secret agenda, more playtime, more playmates. In other words, I want you to discover what you are so you can do whatever you want while you're here. God, this is just good. Being a part of and a witness of and a participant in how you've all evolved in the past 90 days is sweet. You definitely have. If you listen to the recordings from the group calls from day one till today, your patterns are shifting. Sweet. Most people's patterns don't shift. They have no awareness of them, and so they don't shift. Where we're exploring allows you to keep trying on different patterns. It allows you to make use of the ones that you're good at and to realize that you're not your patterns. Like Neville says, you don't condemn a man. It's just, you know, it's a state. You feel free to condemn a state as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I have no use for some states, but I don't condemn the man who's fallen in them. You always lift the people out. I got this lovely little doggy looking at me deep in the eyes. Oh, my God. Wow. So I really just want to thank you all for playing the way you have and showing up and connecting. And I'm assuming there's 10 people here. There's going to be at least another 40 that have the capacity to listen to this call that are in this, but didn't show up for the calls. Your play will bless them as well. I guarantee it. I've been doing this for a long time. So the live play that we have here, it's going to be blessing people that you haven't even heard from. And we do get emails from some of them. So, sweet. It's 6:58 a.m. here. It's almost 2 hours. Wow. I can't imagine a better 2 hours. And I'm looking forward to having some reunions down here and to what we do next.
I'll be putting the building next to you.
Absolutely. It showed up for a reason. So I guess that's it for me. I've got this little fellow looking at me in the eyes, and he wants something, so I got to go figure out what. And we love you guys. I just want to thank you for showing up, being you, and opening up to what you truly are. And keep your eyes peeled. We'll be, putting something together, and you'll see what it is.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you for being that conduit, 20.
Say again, Andrew.
I said, and thank you for being that conduit, mate.
I don't know what else to do, Andrew. You know that.
Yeah, I know that. I know that, and it's beautiful to watch, my man.
I love you guys. Victoria's somewhere. I don't know where she got to. I think she's in the loo. So we love you guys. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you on Facebook and back here next time.
Great. Right. That's
awesome.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.